Turn, please, to the book of Joshua. Last week, we began our journey for 2015. We made our commitment to grow. And today, we continue that journey in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And have you got your reminder? Oh, my goodness. Mine didn't make it out of the shower this morning. I've had it on all week. Don't let me forget it to put it on when I get home. Man. Oh. Anyway, I'll have it on tonight, okay? My goodness. It's bad when the pastor doesn't remember. But anyway, last week, I was so blessed to see the commitment that people made, the desire that Victory has to grow. But you know, before we can grow, we've got to lay some foundation work. That's what we're going to do today, is kind of lay a foundation for growing. Last week we made our commitment. This week we lay our foundation. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of Joshua and we take lessons in leadership? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the good day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship. We thank you, Lord, for Victory Church, the desire that she has to grow in you spiritually, as well as growing by winning the lost, Lord. And we just pray that this morning, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that you may be lifted up high for all to see. And I pray that your presence will be manifest in us this morning, that we'll know that we have been in your presence. And that, Lord, you'll just move in a mighty way. Show yourself strong in this service, Lord, we pray. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in this service. In every heart, every life. For those who are lost, I pray they'll commit to you for salvation. For those who are saved, I pray, Lord, that we will respond to your leading and your conviction. We pray your will be done. We give you all glory and praise and thanksgiving because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, as I said, we kind of begin building. Now, along the way, in weeks to come, I'll tell you what to expect. We're going to give you some opportunities to grow. We're going to give you some things that will help you to grow. But before we get there, we've got to be ready to grow. Did you know you can't just grow? You've got to be ready to grow. And to be ready to grow, it starts with leadership. Are you a leader? Are you called to be a leader? Most likely you are in some form, okay? Now, there's one pastor in this church, and that's me, and it's my responsibility to be the spiritual leader of this church, and that's what I want to do. But I want you to understand, when you think of leaders, I don't want you to just think of me, or Brother Michael, or Brother Kelly, or Brother Greg. I want you to realize that all of us have been called to a position of leadership. And for some, it may be being a parent. For others, it may be being a grandparent. For others, it may be being a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, whatever the case. But most likely, if you're here, you have the opportunity to lead people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And we start today by strengthening our leaders. And first of all, first place we want to strengthen is the mind. And I want to share with you the mindset of a leader. In the text that we read, it said that Moses, my servant, is dead. Imagine, if you will, the millions of Israelites camped out on the bank of the Jordan River. They are ready, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they are ready to go and possess the promised land. They are ready to set their eyes on things that their parents have only dreamed of. There's only one problem. Moses, God's servant, is dead. They're all camped on the bank of the river. All they need is someone to say go, but they have no one to say go. They have no one to say follow me as we follow the Lord. You know, since the beginning of time, God has raised up leaders that stand out for people to follow. And know they're following the Lord when they follow that leader. You think about that. I know our vision should not be absolutely fixed upon men. However, God calls men into positions of leadership so that people may follow these men and know that they are following God by following where these men lead. In the Old Testament, for the children of Israel, it was Moses. Moses was God's man, led them out of Egyptian slavery. Farther in the Old Testament, it was King David, described as a man after God's own heart. We see Daniel who wouldn't defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego followed him, and they wound up, you know, glorifying God in their lives. The New Testament. Jesus himself said, follow me, to his apostles. I'll make you fishers of men. If any man want to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There's always been that call to follow. But God has always set people in that position of leadership to lead that cause. If there is no leader, there's either chaos or nothingness. Okay? Today, God calls Joshua, says, tag, you're it. Moses, my servant is dead, and Joshua, I'm calling you. You are now the leader. You're going to lead these people into promises that they've only dreamed of. But Joshua, you got to understand, Moses is dead. And that's the first thing I want you to understand today. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. So's Joshua. So's King David, so's Daniel, so is Peter, James, and John. They're all dead. Look around you. Look around you. Go ahead and turn your head. Look around you. Do you see the people around you? Fathers, mothers, look at your children, teachers, look at your students, deacons, look at your members. And realize that if the people God has placed in your life are going to see the blessing and the promises of God, somebody's going to have to lead them. Guess what, moms and dads? That's you. Guess what, deacons? Guess what, college students? Guess what? That's you. The blessings of other people depend upon your leadership. Moses is dead. Tag, you're it. It's your turn to step up and be a leader. That's why, and I would just imagine, you know, God told Joshua, he says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And if I was Joshua, the first thought that would have come to my mind would, no, uh-uh. I've seen how these people do. I've seen their rebellion. I've seen their stubbornness. God, no, I don't want it. But Joshua didn't. Joshua stepped up. That's why God told him, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. In our language, man up. I've called you to this position. Lead these people. And the thing that you have to realize that if Joshua didn't lead these people, who would? There was always evil influences around that would lead them down the wrong path, just like there are today. If I, as the pastor, do not lead, if you, as a mother, a father, do not lead, if you, as a Sunday school teacher, do not lead, there are leaders waiting in the wings to take your position, but they're not good leaders. There's Hollywood that will lead them into the land of no God and no morals and no restriction. There are the drug cartels, the drug pushers, the porn industry, even Satan himself. That's why God said, Joshua, step up, be a man, be strong and of good courage. Actually, it's really interesting. That word strong, it carries the idea of strength in the hand. And the concept there is, Joshua, I'm calling you now, grab on to the plan. Take it in your hand and do not let go. Be strong. That word courage literally carries the idea of strength in the knees. He's saying, strengthen your hands and your knees. Step up. Take the position that I've called you to. And don't be moved no matter what. And do not settle for less than God's best. Be a leader. Be a leader, Joshua. That's my challenge to you today. Be a leader. Take hold of it with your hand with a bulldog tenacity. Stand your ground, you know. Fix yourself in your position and declare to Satan himself, I am a child of God called to the ministry. I'm a teacher, I'm a deacon, I'm a mom, I'm a dad. And Satan, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will not be moved. Be strong and of good courage. Step up. See, that's the mentality that we've got to have as a leader. The determination that we've got to have as leaders in the kingdom of God. Now let's talk about the mission of leaders. The mission of leaders. If you'll notice in verse 7, God said, be careful. Observe to do all the law that I've commanded you. Excuse me. Observe to do all the law. That word observe is an interesting word in that it means to guard or to keep watch. Joshua, I'm calling you, but buddy, here, you got to be on guard. You got to be on guard. What do you think he's talking about there? Leaders, when you step up and assume your position, you assume your God call role, I want you to understand you are a subject to attack. Okay? And as such, if you do not prevail against those attacks of Satan, you will fall. And if you fall as a leader, grab this, you will carry others down with you. Okay? For example, people are counting on you. Have you ever heard of a pastor that was involved in a scandal? There's two things that'll get you in trouble as a preacher, as a teacher, as just about anybody, sex and money. Okay? But when a preacher falls, what happens to the church? I mean, they scatter like flies. Why? Because they looked at that leader. And they said, okay, here's the man I can follow and know that I'm following God. As I was preparing this, I was reminded as the pastor of my responsibility to be on guard against a scandal. Okay? And understand, nobody is above a scandal. People are counting on you, and not just pastors, teachers. When teachers are scarred by a scandal, what happens to the class? The class fails. When families are scarred by scandals, it's moms and dads. What happens? The family fails. If you fail, leaders, it's not just you. You're going to take others down with you. That's how important the position you have, called of God, is. When you fall, others' ideas of God will be affected. People are counting on you. Observe. Be on guard to do everything that God has commanded in His Word. And do not turn. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Have a stubborn stability about you, about who you are and what you are. Never turning, never moving, no matter what. And certainly do not abandon the principles of God's Word. See, you've got to understand, God's way works. Did you know that? See, we live in a world today. There's all kinds of classes on leadership and successful, you know, paths to success. And God's way works. If you want to know how to be successful, get into the Word of God. Okay? Make that the direction of your life. And the world doesn't get that. See, we watch news and we see all the bad news and the school back, you know, people back up and say, well, I don't understand why we have school shootings today. I do. I do. Because we've dismissed God from our schools. We've said God's not welcome there. And when you take away God's direction, and I find it funny, and I've told you this before, you know, let's take the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Yeah, let's take the Ten Commandments out of the schools and replace them with birth contraception and see what happens. Well, welcome to 2015. It doesn't work. It does not work. God's way works. It's not just schools, it's society in general. You know, we're fighting battles of AIDS and all sorts of sexual diseases. Do you know why? Because we've thrown aside the Word of God. You want to know how to fix the sexually transmitted diseases today? The Word of God. Get married and be faithful. Okay? Don't live the lifestyle. It doesn't work. That's why God told Joshua, listen, I know what I'm doing. I know what I've set up. You be careful. Do not turn from my word, from the law, to the right or to the left. You want to know how to deal with finances? Get in the Word. Did you know tithing works? I found through the years, if I want to get in financial difficulty, quit tithing. I figured out God can take His part through the transmission of a car or through a car wreck or what. God can drain my bank account. But you know what I've also found out? I've also found out that if I'm faithful in my giving, God is faithful in His providing. Yeah? It works. God's way works. Now, you know, and I'm not part of the crowd today saying, I'll give to God and God's going to make you a millionaire. No. No. But I do know God's way works in managing money. God's way works in managing marriage. Love your wife. With husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You want your wives to treat you right? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. It works. It works. God's point is, Joshua, I know what I'm talking about. I gave you direction, knowing what was best for you. Joshua, do not turn from my ways. And if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to latch on to the direction of God with, once again, with a tenacity and a refusal to be moved. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and do not let it depart from your mouth. What's he talking about there? Continually be talking about it? Yes, kind of. But the idea there is to be constantly teaching. Do you know, as a leader, your requirement is to constantly teach. It's not your... God has not called you to be a dictator. Okay? It's not your... You know, husbands, it's not your place to say, this is my castle and I'll rule it as I see fit. No. You know, you're the head of the home. Your responsibility is to teach your family the ways of the Lord. That's how to be a leader. My children growing up, there was a time or two I'd tell them to do something and they ask why. And there was a time or two I said, because I said so. And you know, I understand that mentality to a point. But after rethinking that position, that may have been a very good opportunity to teach my children instead of take that position of, I'm dad and I said so. You know? Never waste an opportunity to teach God to the people around you. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. What's he talking about there? He's talking about reflection. Digging deep. Having your personal time with God. Do not try to do it by yourself. A leader without God is not a leader. Okay, it will not work. Our mission has to be to observe God's ways, to refuse to turn from God's ways, and to be teachers of God's ways. That's the mission of leaders. Then let's talk about the morale of leaders. If you'll notice, he repeated the phrase, do not be afraid. And I like in the very last verse, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. That word afraid, it means terror. Have you ever been so scared you couldn't do anything? That's kind of the concept there. The word fear means just to be terrified. The word dismayed means to be shattered. That you are so afraid that you do absolutely nothing. You ever been there? If you're not, you'll be at some point you will be tempted. Okay? I want to tell you something about fear. I can tell you all day long, don't be afraid. But that don't take the fear out of you, away from you, does it? Oh, Brother Doug, it scares me too. And you fill in the blank. And I say, oh, don't be afraid. It's not a big deal. And you know what? I haven't changed anything on the inside of you, have I? But I do want to share with you the concept here. You see, you've got to deal with fear. You've got to refuse to allow fear to shatter you and paralyze you. You've got courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the willingness to act in spite of the fear that you have. Did you know there are things I do not do because it makes me nervous? I was thinking as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, you know, y'all got to understand, it's really tough because God preaches to me this message several times before it ever makes it to Sunday morning. There, and so y'all are, you know, this isn't like the preacher's preaching to you. This is the preacher's got it all week, and now it's your turn, right? But I was thinking, there are things that just scare me in the kingdom of God. Just makes me nervous. You know why I don't sing? Oh, I can sing when the choir is behind me. You know why I don't sing? I don't sing because it makes me nervous. And when God brought that to my mind, I said, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord, we'll work on that. It's okay to be afraid. When we do bluegrass and I pick the banjo, I get nervous. You know, I get nervous. Does that mean I don't need to be, you know? Is that an excuse? No. It's an opportunity to exercise courage, pick it up and do what God calls me to do. Okay? That's my challenge to you. Do not let fear stop you as a leader in God's work. But Brother Doug, what if I'm wrong? Well, I've got news for you. You probably will be. If you're leading along the way, there will be points that you make mistakes. Why? Because you're human. Okay? Because you're human. But the wonderful thing is, God knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows what you're capable of. And He knows you can make mistakes. And God can fix mistakes. Okay? As a matter of fact, He can take your mess and make something great out of it. That's the God we serve. Do not let fear make you stop. What if? What if they won't follow me? What if I fail? It don't matter. You have the courage as a leader to step up and do what God calls you to do. I love the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You know the story. The master called his servants to him. Three servants he called. The first servant he gave 5 talents. Said, keep till I come, or entertain till I come. And the second servant he gave 2 talents and said, take care of it till I come. The third servant, he gave 1 talent. Take care of it till I come. The master went away for a period of time. When the master come back, he went to the one that he gave 5 talents. And that one that he gave 5 talents said, Master, while you were gone, I took your money. I used it. It made 5 more talents. Here's your money. 10 talents, right? The one that gave 2 talents. Master, I took your money. I put it to work. It made 2 more talents. Here's your money. The guy who had 1 talent. You remember what he said? He approached the master and he said, Master, I know that you're a hard man. I know you reap where you do not sow. So Master, I was afraid and took your talent and buried it. Now you're back. I've dug it up. Here's your 1 talent. What kept that servant from doing? Fear. Lord, I was afraid. And you know what the master said? I truly believe that had he lost that talent in doing business, that the master would have said, that's okay. That's okay. You were serving. But he didn't. He said, the master said, you lazy servant. You knew what I expected, and you did nothing. And he took that talent away from that guy and he gave it to the guy that had 5 talents. What am I saying? I'm saying fear is no excuse. Do not let fear stop you from stepping out and following the Lord where He calls you. And you see, here's the good part. He ended, and I love the verse 9. How, Joshua, how can you not be afraid? How can you not be dismayed? How can you not be paralyzed by your fear? Here's what you need to know, Joshua. The Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you. You know, sometimes when you lead, it's a very lonely position. Yeah. You know, you make decisions and it don't matter what decision you make, somebody's not going to be happy. Just the way it is. But that's okay. That's okay. Even when the majority doesn't seem to be happy with you. If you're following the Lord, you go in the direction that the Lord leads, and know this. The Lord, your God, is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. And there will be times in leading that is all you have. But beloved, listen. That is enough. God is there. Can you imagine Daniel and spending the night in the lion's den? Wasn't anybody there holding his hand? But the next morning, Daniel was just fine, wasn't he? Can you imagine David when he faced Goliath? Everybody else was too scared to face that giant. And David went out, took his sling and five stones, took a stone, put it between in the forehead of Goliath. The giant fell. David cut his head off and won the victory. But you know what? David didn't win the victory. It was David's God that won him the victory. David was not alone. And I want to tell you something. If you are a child of God, you may be leading out. You may be, you know, doing what God's called you to do. And I just want to remind you, you're not alone. You're not alone. And you and God, as long as you're where God wants you, doing what God calls you to do, it's going to be okay. No, it's going to be better than okay. It's going to be grand. Can you imagine coming to that point at the end of your life where you stand before the judgment seat of God and God reveals to you, I gave you all these blessings, gave you all these opportunities. You know, it will just be a great thing to be able to say, Lord, you gave me this. I took this. I worked in your vineyard. Here it is. It's all yours, all for your honor, for your glory. Master, here it is. I truly, and I know that you do too, I truly want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But for us to hear those words, we're going to have to step up into the leadership roles that God calls us to. Where are you today? Are you in neutral? Are you just kind of floating along, whichever way the wind blows? Answer God's call. Maybe the Lord's leading you to become a minister of the gospel. Answer God's call. Maybe He's just leading you to become a teacher or a dedicated, more dedicated father or mother. Answer God's call. Step up. Man up. Be strong and of good courage. God is with you. Maybe you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. I want to share with you, Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin debt so that you could have everlasting life. Do not waste the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This morning I beg you, I plead with you, I ask you, will you call upon Jesus for salvation today? Whatever your spiritual need is, maybe you need the Father, the Lord, and scriptural baptism. Maybe you need to rededicate. But make up your mind today. Make up your mind and respond to God's leading. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You. And Lord, we know that there are a diverse congregation here this morning. And we understand that You've called us all to different areas and we all serve in our different areas and lead out in our different areas. But Lord, we're reminded that these different areas fit together as the body of Christ, as Your body, Your hands and Your feet. So today we pray that You will put a courage within our hearts that cannot be stopped by the attacks of Satan. We pray, Lord, that You will just convict us, make Your will clear to us, and give us a willing spirit to step up and answer Your call. In Jesus' name I pray.